Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard the prophets. I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell his dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Well, as we look this morning on our world, the things that are going on in our world, it's a rather distressing picture. Everywhere you look, false religion, false doctrine pervades not only our society here in the U.S., but all over the world. The beast seems to have a resurrection. The Roman Catholic Church is spreading out her hands about everywhere. And men love to have that sort of doctrine in that sort of way. And you need not to look very far to see that we're under the wrath of God. Our fires devouring thousands of homes out in Colorado. Fires in California that men just can't withstand. 100 mile an hour winds driving the flames, people barely escaping with their life, and some not escaping with their life. Earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, even in Kentucky. And the world over, this new plague from the Lord, COVID, wreaking havoc among people. And people in our day say, where is the Lord? Sure enough, he's a God at hand. We are in the throes of the end of this age. That's my belief. And I think all of these things are witness to that the Lord is coming soon. As a woman in travail, her pains and birth begin gradually, and they become more intense and more frequent and severe until finally there's a birth. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ has promised that he's coming again. Now, either we believe that or we don't. If we do believe he's coming again, why isn't this day as good as any other day for him to come? It is, as far as we, there's nothing yet to be fulfilled. He's promised that he'd come and take his church unto himself. And I, from the looks of things, it appears that that's very near. Although other people during the Second World War and other upheavals in the earth have thought the same thing, but it's nearer today than it's ever been. And it's nearer for each of us individually. We know that the Lord will soon come for us. If we're young, we know that we must die. We're going to have to leave this world. But the Lord has said here in this, he said, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off?" Now there's no one, and he says, "Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Well, that's true. His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and beholding the good. He sees us, and he even knows our thoughts. And he knows our thoughts that we're thinking now and yesterday, but he knows the thoughts that we will be thinking. He knows our thoughts afar off. And yet, he said, "I'm a God at hand." I'm near. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Let's begin reading at verse 5. Romans 10, 5. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live in them. Well, now the righteousness of the law demands that we keep the law perfectly every moment from the cradle to the grave, and we're all failures there. We can't even begin. Because the first off, you got to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And there's none of us possibly can do that. So we can forget the law. I, through the law, am dead to the law. The law requires more than I can provide. I certainly cannot do that. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what saith it? The word. Is nigh thee. He's a God at hand. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, what is it to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it is, first of all, hearing it with this ear. We hear the gospel preached. We hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, where he is now, who he did it for, all of those things. But that isn't the hearing that's required. The hearing is required is it being moved from here to here. And when we hear it here, it becomes the thing that we love. We love the God who gave His Word. We love the Word He gave. We love the people who believe His Word. We love the worship of God. We love the way of God. And to believe on the heart is to believe to the point that we desire to be conformed perfectly to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, to lose our identity as ourself and to be identified in the Lord Jesus Christ and with His people, to be in the image of our God. That's the thing that, to give up ourselves wholly. To give up what we are. To be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And to be willing to say to friends, family, the world, whatever comes our way, to say, if you require of me that I depart from Christ for your sake, that's more than I can do. That's more than I'm willing to do. That's something I won't do. Look at Matthew 10:34. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. I'm having a hard time getting there. And let's begin our reading at verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. Now, isn't that so contradictory to the image of the Christ that's preached in this day? In our day, it's anything to maintain peace between the brethren, or those who profess to be brethren, or anything to further the cause of brotherhood. But our duty is, and our joy is, if we think correctly, is to maintain faithfulness to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel, His truth. In spite of this world and in the face of this world, to tell the truth about who we are, who Christ is, what He has done, and where He is now. And the thing is, He has saved His people. He's purchased us with His blood, and that cannot be changed. And those whom He has purchased with His blood, He will have in glory.
Amen.
There's no question about that.
Amen.
There's no doubt about that. That's a certain thing. Whomsoever He has purchased with His blood, He'll have them in glory. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come to send a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and against his daughter and against his mother and against his daughter-in-law and his mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own house. And how accurate is that? In almost everyone that's represented, well, I think everyone that's represented here, you can see that in your own family. As Brother Jerry spoke, and I know you all have this as a common experience to the people of God. Well, don't talk to me about your God. Stand by yourself. I'm not interested in you or your God. That's just the way it is in our day. See, we were in Romans 10. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this way, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend. I'm in Romans chapter 10, verse 7. Romans 10, 7. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So confession unto salvation is the confession of a state of our heart, that it is wholly given up to the Lord in everything. That's simple. Wholly given up to the Lord. Now, in this, we all fail. We would, as the Apostle Paul said, I would do what I can't do. And that which I would not do, that's what I do. Believers would be wholly given to the Lord at every moment, at every point in their life. And basically, fundamentally, we are. But we are distracted as we go through this world. Our thoughts, our minds, our motives, the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, not so much as how to gain them, but how to manage what we have. All of those things war against our souls, and if we're not careful, they bring us into captivity. And so we remain distracted. We don't read the scriptures as we ought. We don't pray as we ought. We don't meditate as we ought. We don't spend time in communion with our God as we ought. And so we become unfruitful. The love of many. Waxes cold. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. But let's back up to verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. 1 John 10:9. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. And he sent his Son into this world to be a propitiation for our sins, to make satisfaction to God's law and justice for the sin of his people. Let me read through this verse 9 again. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, think of that verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world, and that's the world of his people, world of the elect, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God spared not his Son, but gave him up to the cruel death of the cross, in order to pay our sin debt. And it pleased the Father to bruise him. Yeah. Isaiah 10:53. All of that was the love of the Father giving his only Son to that. Let me look at another scripture right here, see if I can find it right quick. It's in Acts. Bear with me just a minute. Hold your place in 1 John and turn to the Gospel of John. Chapter 3. And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, while our Lord Jesus Christ, in his human nature, was here on earth, preaching the gospel, walking among men, dwelling among us, his God, he was still in glory, being worshipped by the angels in communion with his Father. Now, it was the love of the Father that brought about the election of grace. God had chosen us in Christ Jesus. And he chose us in distinction from Christ Jesus, in that he chose us in Christ Jesus. Of course, we are the elect of all three persons of God, because what one did, they all did. But election is particularly ascribed to the Father. So it was the love of the Father that brought about the doctrine of election. And it was the love of the Son that made the love of the Father effectual unto our salvation in giving himself as a ransom for our sins. Amen. God is love. If God had only elected, if there'd never been a redemption, his election would have been unfruitful. But the redemption that's in the Son made the love of God the Father in election effectual to the children of the covenant. God is love. And it was the love of the Father that caused election. It was the love of the Son that made that election fruitful. And the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. If we have a desire in our heart after the things of God, I wonder why that is. Well, it's not of the flesh. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. It's not of the flesh, it's not of the will of man, nor of man, but it's of God. If we have a desire after spiritual things, is because of the stirring and working of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, people might think, well, since election's true, since predestination's true, then should I seek the Lord? Well, if you're ever inclined to seek the Lord, you ought to seek the Lord. That inclination is of the Lord. The love of God shed abroad in our heart in its beginnings is a wooing. It's a gentle. It's like that still, small voice that Jeremiah, I believe it was, or Moses, or one of the prophets. Anyway, he said the Lord wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake and all those things. And I haven't reviewed that scripture for a while, and I may not get this right. But he said there was a fire that passed by and so on, and then there was a still, small voice. That's the wooing of the Spirit. That still, small voice within us that moves us toward seeking of God. Look at Jeremiah. Chapter 31. Jeremiah 31:18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We see so much that we are not in ourselves. We see our failures. We see a disappointment in ourselves, in about everything spiritual. And so blessed is he that is poor in spirit. Why is he blessed? Because once he finds that he has nothing in himself, he can turn to Christ for everything. Once you give up on self, then there's only one other place to look, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Jeremiah 31:18. Surely I have heard Ephraim bemoaning himself, thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me. Now the Lord deals with us as we can be dealt with. He deals with us by small increments. He turns us gently, gradually. He doesn't conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ at once, not in our experience, although we are justified one time and all at once, and actually we're justified before the foundation of the world when we were chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our experience, we are turned from the old life to the new gradually. And God works in us as we can be worked with. As he told his disciples, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. He deals with us as we can bear what he has to deal with us in, according to our abilities. But look what he says here. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. The Lord begins turning us by kindling in us a desire to be turned. That's the gift of God. And the beginning of that gift, the true gift, is the beginning of eternal life. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He'll work in us gradually, more and more, more powerfully, until our own will is turned to his will. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
Yeah.
Now I think that that is the will of the people of God. Their most secret desire is after conformation to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. Well, how do we attain that? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now if we're bound in our experience, if we're bound in our spirits, if we're bound by anything, especially legalistic preaching, you can figure the Lord not there. If there's no freedom in our spirit, no liberty, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now what is the glass? That's the glass. The word of the Lord. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, it's the Spirit of the Lord that works all these things in us. And He does it by means of beholding the image of God, where we are changed from glory to glory. It's necessary. It's necessary to attend the worship of the Lord, because it is there that we hear the preaching of the Word, where the Word is brought before us, and as we are exposed to the Word, and as the Spirit works through the Word, we are changed into the image of the Word. It is that Word that is the seed that's in us that brings new life. And that new life is made in the image of God. So, my question is this. When should anyone seek the Lord? Always. He's not a God far off. And He's there's no place you can hide from Him. He knows exactly what we're doing. And election, predestination, is no discouragement unto it, because where there is an inclination in our will to seek Him, we ought to follow that inclination. And we can know that that inclination is from the Lord, because He says, "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned." All right. I think it's four depth of mercy is what I want to say, if we can find it. That ain't what I was looking for. Man of Sorrows, What a Name is the song I'm looking for, if I can.
One twenty-seven.
Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement can it be, hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was He who died, it is finished was His cry. Bowed in heaven, exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When He comes, our glorious King, all His ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen. Well, there's no telling what it'll be 12 months from now. But we know this. It will be according to the will of God. Whether we're in glory, whether we're still here on the earth. If we're still here, we know what's coming. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be grief. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be pain. There's going to be death. But amongst it all, we can worship. And we can thank God for Him who stood in our place already before the judgment of God and put all of our sins away. And we, and believers, have nothing to dread, but everything to hope for. We're children of hope. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed. Bart, would you dismiss us?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this message this morning. We just thank You, Lord, for Your scriptures that are true. We thank You, Lord, that church and preach the truth and not be afraid. Lord, we just pray for each person here this morning that You bless us, Lord. Forgive us our many sins. We pray for all the prayer requests, Lord, and those who are sick, those who are in need. We pray for those who aren't able to come out this morning, Lord. We pray and bless them. Lord, we just pray for all our children, children's children, Lord. We just pray that You're watching them this evil time. Lord, we just look forward to Your return soon. Lord, we just pray for more grace every day, that we'll be a better witness, that we'll proclaim the gospel from the hilltops. We pray these things now in Jesus' name.
Amen. We're dismissed.